Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another feature presentation episode of Film Feeder. This one is very exciting indeed. It is in celebration of the new release of the new film Silver Haze, which comes to UK cinemas everywhere on March the 29th, courtesy of the BFI. And I am extremely fortunate to be joined by the star of the film, is the real person of the moment, Miss Vicky Knight. So, hello, Vicky. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an absolute honor to have you here. And if you don't mind, I've got a few questions to ask because I've seen Silver Haze twice now, and both times I found a lot to really appreciate about it. And one of the things, obviously, is that the fact that this film in particular is very closely based on your actual experience. So, with the nature of this particular story, was there initially any hesitation in wanting to tell this very personal story for general audiences?
It was a decision between myself and the director, Sacha Pollack. We already worked together on a previous film called Dirty God, which is where I met you at the BFI screening, if I'm right, or the BAFTA screening.
This is correct. Yeah, a BFI showing. Yeah, there was a showing of it. You were there for a Q&A and I asked
Yeah,
a
so
asked a question and yeah, it got us chatting and yeah, here we are today.
Then, off the back of Dirty God, while we was traveling, me and Sasha really wanted to work together. She wasn't working on anything at the time, so when we was traveling, I was telling her bits and pieces of my life story, and she was telling me hers, and she met my family, and she we just decided to make a film based loosely on my life. It was her idea more. But yeah, very grateful, very honored to be able to have that opportunity to be able to put my life, well, part of my life's story on a big screen, Scary, but it's exciting.
Yeah, for those who perhaps aren't aware of the context surrounding it, if you wouldn't mind, I know it's not always easy, but if it's possible, would you just mind explaining, what it is that you have unfortunately been through?
Yeah, so I was involved in an arson attack 20 years ago. I was staying at my granddad's pub that was ran by my aunt and my uncle, and they lived in the flat above the pub with their children, and a fire was started deliberately in the stairwell leading up to the flat. And unfortunately, me and my four cousins were trapped in the living room, and my 2-year-old cousin, no, my two cousins passed away, and the man that saved my life also passed away. So that's a bit about my injuries. I've got a third of my body that's burnt. So that's a part of me.
Yeah, well, of course, as I'm sure you're aware now, that those don't define you in the slightest. I mean, the fact is that you're and just an incredible person, just in general. It makes anyone who's fortunate enough to meet you look beyond the scars instantly and see a very warm and caring person underneath. So thank you for sharing that. I know it's not always easy, but I'm really thankful that you're able to share that. And
I've come through it though, Jack, with the sense of talking about it. I can talk freely about it without it affecting me too much, and I've only done that through film, like doing both of my films. It's made me realize that I am, as you said, more than my scars, and I am more than what people see, so yeah.
absolutely. And as you mentioned, this is you obviously work with filmmaker Sacha Pollock on Dirty God. And with this being your second collaboration, did you feel that the process of performing on camera was more comfortable this time round? I mean, knowing what to expect with this particular director?
Yeah, it was more of like I had the knowledge of how a set worked, whereas with Dirty God, for people that don't know what Dirty God is about, Dirty God is about a young mother in London who was involved in the acid attack, and I play the main character called Jade, and she tries to rebuild her life. So going on that kind of set where I wasn't a professional actress at the time, aware of how it was going to look on the screen. You know, Sasha wanted right close-ups of my scars, and these were the scars that I had hid for so long. You know, so I kind of panicked, and but this time round, I was more mentally prepared, and I had, you know, people on set if something was to go wrong. For example, we had a medic on set that was trained in psychotherapy, so she was put there for not just for me but for all the other cast as well, because it's a sensitive story. You know, there was other aspects from everyone else's life that was put into the story. You know, and yeah, it was just more of like having that support network within the set. And I haven't, you know, so to work with Sasha, and in, especially with the intimate scenes, for example, you know, you have to have a sense of trust with everyone on set, you know, because you can't do a job if there's no trust. And that's the main thing with me, is putting my 100% trust into Sasha and knowing that she's going to take my life story and look after it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the difference is there. I mean, in Dirty God, I mean, it's a very, for those who haven't seen it, it's a very confident performance that you give in that. And in Silver Haze, that's multiplied by 1,000, because you feel so much more natural, and the performance as well is incredibly naturalistic, and not to mention pretty raw, as you know, you see yourself and other members of the cast, you know, being unafraid to show the character's more volatile nature. And what I wanted to ask was, what was the process with collaborating with Sasha on crafting these very emotionally complex turns that we see on the screen?
I mean, there was a lot of life stories that were put into Silver Haze, not just mine. You know, there were some, you know, stories from Sasha's family, for example, that was put into the script, and her life experiences. There was part of Esme's experiences in the film, Alice's experience as well, or Angela Bruce, her experiences. So, you know, it was carefully crafted in a way that it wasn't going to be too much for everyone to handle on set. You know, the guy that plays Jack Archie, who you met the other day, he has autism, and you know, a lot of Sasha hasn't worked with actors that have autism, so she was very, very good in the sense of making sure that Archie felt really, really secure and safe on set, and you know, to make sure that there was no boundaries or lines crossed. And I have worked with directors before, and they, you know, like on, or I've known people in the industry that have had bad experiences, that, you know, that they feel that they need to be able to impress the director. So they need to cross these lines, they need to cross the boundaries just to be, to make themselves look good on screen. And the way Sasha worked with Archie in particular was that, you know, no one made, like, you made him feel that he was more than his autism, basically. You know, it wasn't just that. And the way Archie played his character was just so unique. And so, like, I helped cast Archie quite early on. And I said to Sasha, like, out of everyone that we auditioned, he was the main guy that stuck out for me, that could play this character. And you know, Jack is a complete made up character in my life story, but to have, you know, have him on set with his own uniqueness and stuff, it was just, it gives so much more to the film, you know, because everyone's going to know somebody that has autism, everyone's going to know somebody that has cancer, has mental health, has something that's visibly different about them. So it was just crafted around every cast member, I think.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought up Archie Bridgen, who plays Jack in the film. He's because for me, he was really one of the standout parts of the film, and from a purely selfish point of view, because you know, like you said, his character's name is Jack, and he's a young man with autism, which I of course relate to, because I am also an autistic man named Jack. So that was nice little coincidence there, but. You touched upon this, like the casting of Archie, who does have autism, like you say, and is excellent in the film, by the way. I mean, from my point of view, that felt like a very strong piece of representation that you sadly don't see often in film because, I was actually talking with Archie the other day about this. Actually, because I attended a screening of Silver Haze, which you were at and he was at, and your brother Billy, who's also in the film. I got talking to him a little bit afterwards, because there is an unfortunate way that Hollywood in general just tends to portray autism. It's the typical like Dustin Hoffman Rain Man portrayal, or the most extreme example I can think of recently was what they did with in that film Music with that which Sia directed. I don't know if you ever saw that.
That, no.
Don't. It's really bad, but it's I think in my review for it, I labeled it as like a hate crime for autistic people because it's the way they portray it is it's not great. But
The film called I Am Sam.
Sean Penn and Dakota Fanning, yeah, it's that kind of that kind of really kind of going all out there, and it's if it comes across as like disingenuous sometimes. But with Archie, and I was telling him this, like what he does, it's not trying to like be, it's not a very showy performance, and it's a very natural. I think he captured it so well, just being himself, like you said, because it's got crafted around him, and he was made to feel so comfortable on set. And making sure that he was, being comfortable enough to be himself, was that on yours and the filmmakers' minds when that character was being created?
I mean, I don't know if you've ever had the experience, Jack, where some people you can tell that they're being overly self-conscious of what they say or what they do. But
Hmm.
with Archie, for example, it was his first ever time being on a set, and there is different, correct me if I'm wrong, there's different aspects of autism where some people can get really over-sensorized with noise or lighting, etc., and things like that. And Archie's mum and dad came on set and made sure obviously he was well looked after, but even they sat right far and just let him do his job basically. But I can't pick out one moment where I felt like people were being too nice to him because of his autism. It was just accepted for who he was as a person. And there was conversations whether, does Archie look too autistic on camera? Does he look too little autistic on camera? And actually, he was himself as a person, and it was just amazing to see him be so free with it. And he put his own ideas also into the film when we was improvising, for example. He put his ideas in, so everyone had an input. And I found it really important that we had someone like Archie in the film because, for example, people like you can relate highly to him, and it probably makes you feel a bit more less lonely in the world, because, for example, with me, with my scars, before I did anything like this, I felt lonely in the world. I felt like I was the only one that lived like this, and having a disability that is visible is the same as it being, who you are as a person. And I think Sasha did a very, very good job with portraying his character the way Archie actually is as a person.
Yeah, no, I completely agree because, like, as you mentioned, it's very. I mean, there are obviously very different, various different types of autism. I mean, I for example, I'm much more of a high functioning Asperger's kind of guy. I don't know exactly what type Archie has, but he seems high functioning, regardless. But you're right; it's
He's a
that sense.
smart boy. He's studying politics in uni, so he's going to go very, very far.
Oh yeah, he is absolutely. He's an incredibly bright lad. I'm even Instagram friends with him now, which is really cool. So Archie, if you're listening, keep it up, man. You're doing really well. And but I think it's. I just wanted to bring that up because obviously, yeah. I mean, like you said, it's important to have portrayals like that out there. Just in the sense that you are being spoken to but not spoken down to, you know, like whereas, you know, I feel a lot of people that do come in, where they don't have autism, where they're playing autistic characters, like, you know, Dustin Hoffman, Sean Penn, and Maddie Ziegler in music, but you know, they don't really, they never really understand, you know, the basic struggles that we go through. I mean, I tend to stammer a lot and not make eye contact, but that's just how I roll. It's just a mixture of nerves and anxiety. I mean, and to your credit, you are an extremely friendly person, so it makes it easier to talk to. And I've known this on a couple of occasions. I have met with you in person, but it is no less difficult for someone like me. I don't know if it's the same with anyone listening out there who also has autism, but I think it's definitely important to kind of keep that conversation alive. That you know, there are people out there who might not necessarily have the same thing as you, but you know, they are out there. They can empathize with how you feel, and maybe at the very least understand a little bit of what you're going through. And I feel that what you've done with you know, just, you know, putting your voice out there, connecting with all these people, making sure that they have as much of a voice as you do, I think is really a step in the right direction. So I just really want to applaud you for that. So thanks for
Thanks.
making us
I
feel
appreciate
heard.
that. I appreciate that. And I think, you know, with going back to Archie, I think, you know, that he's a star in my eyes, you know, and he's got so much potential. And, you know, if Archie's storyline, and it doesn't, I mean, Silver Hayes doesn't ever say his character has autism. You know, that's
No.
people's assumptions, you know, and if, you know, some people have asked me, you know, what is Archie's character? Who is Archie? And it's just like Archie's is who you see on the screen, you know, that's him. And you know, the amount of people that have commented on his performance, and he's gonna have such a voice for people with autism as well, to be able to say, well, if I can do it, you can do it, you know. And it doesn't matter what is wrong with you, whether you've got mental health, something physical, something mentally. Put your mind to it, you can achieve anything, you
Yeah.
know, and yeah.
No, I think that's really well put. And I think yeah, Archie, I think, is a real inspiration, honestly, to people like myself, and hopefully other people with autism who do end up seeing the film. So yeah, I really applaud both you and Archie for
Party.
that. Yeah, go Archie. Yeah. But I mean, but what some people might not know about you, Vicky, is that, you know, when you're not acting, you're also working as a healthcare assistant in the hospital, which is wonderful for so many reasons, and it speaks to your truly caring personality, both on and off the camera. And going into a role like the one you have in Silver Haze, is there anything else that you feel as though you bring from that particular role as a healthcare assistant, to any acting work in general that you end up doing?
I think, yeah, I mean, it's a very good question, but I the way I see it is, you know, a lot of people can see the acting life as a very you know, full of fame, full of celebrities, full of this, full of that. But actually it's the complete opposite, and it is a very, very hard job to do, acting, especially when it comes to doing press and Q&As and stuff like that. It's very mentally draining, but also very rewarding. But I think taking my insight from my job at the hospital is more, you know, I kind of like the fact that I'm quite, I wouldn't say I like it, I'm proud of the fact I'm in that situation, because one, that job keeps me grounded, you know, it keeps me to the point where, you know, none of this film stuff is going to go to my head, and I'm not going to have this big, you know, car, I'm this. You know, so it kind of keeps me on a level of like, this is reality and this is made up. You know, it's two completely different jobs. You know, one, I can go and act and save someone's life, but actually in my other job, I'm doing it. So it's just the strength and the courage from the hospital job that I bring into, but it's like me on a day-to-day basis anyway, you know, in the sense of like how I live my life is, I've always, you know, I don't want to be big-headed, but I do see myself as a caring person, in the sense of like I always help other people, you know, before I help myself. And That's just me as a person. That's not anything to do with my film or whatever. That's just how I've been brought up, I guess, is, the more you give to people, it will come back to you one day. So,
So,
yeah.
and with the film now about to be seen by audiences across the country, and for a reminder, it comes to cinemas on the 29th of March. And what are you hoping that viewers take away from the experience of watching the events of this really powerful story?
I want people to take away their strength for every single character that's in the film, and if one member of the cast story relates to them in one way, I hope, that they can take their strength away from that situation and not all the trauma from it, because, Silver Haze is done in a clever way of telling everyone's story, but in such a subtle way, and it's not in everyone's face, and it kind of brings the audience into actually feeling for these particular characters. And if I can be a voice for people that haven't found their sexuality, haven't found their voice in the sense of they don't know what to do with themselves, or even Archie's a voice for people, Angela Bruce, she's a voice for people, so it everyone, yeah, it's just allowing people's voices to be heard, basically.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good message to take away, and I certainly got that from both screenings of the film, I have to say. So, final question now, and this is the general question I just like to ask anyone I interview, because obviously I'm all about film, and I love talking about film, and just am very genuinely interested in other people's opinions. So. With that in mind, what was the last really memorable film that you saw, and what was it that you particularly liked about it?
Oh, that is a good question. I can't say what. Oh, Femme.
Oh,
The film
yeah.
on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, go and watch it. Honestly, one of the best films I've seen in a very, 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 very long time.
Yeah, Femme. That's with George MacKay and I can't remember the other actor's name. But yeah, that's a great film. I saw that in cinemas last year. I didn't get around to reviewing it though. But I remember it being. It is a very tense film. It's powerfully
Oh,
acted by both of them.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a that's a really good suggestion. Yeah, I feel bad I wasn't able to. I think I just ran out of time, but
You always
I'm
write a review, Jack. Watch it again and write one.
yeah, maybe I will. Yeah, it's getting popularity on Netflix, and I might just do that. Yeah, okay, Femme, that's a great one. So it's available on Netflix at the moment. So, and you can check that out, and also more importantly, check out Silver Haze when it comes to
29th of
cinemas.
March.
Yes, on
Go and see it.
March 29th. It's come around so fast, and we really hope to see you on the big screen again. Hopefully you get more offers coming up. And did you say what are you working on anything in particular that we need to look
I'm
out
working
for?
on, a couple of projects this year, one short film and one feature, but that won't be for that won't come out for a couple of years. So yeah, I've got projects in the line, lined up and working at the hospitals. So.
Oh, that's incredible. I because I said this when Dirty God came out, and I'm saying again now that Silver Haze is coming out. I really do feel that you're one of the most undersung heroes of the acting scene in general. I mean, not just because of your story, but just the fact that you are an incredibly naturalistic performance. Like every time I've seen you in something, I'm just impressed by how. And I mean this in a good way. It doesn't seem like you're acting. It feels so natural. And I really am pleased that you're, continuing this, but also doing everything that you're doing at the hospital. And just more importantly, just being a really kind and caring person. I really I'm so glad that I was able to get you on this podcast because obviously, having you on means a lot to me, but also, just to chat with someone who, does take the time out to really kind of get to know you and really kind of understand how you're feeling. So it's nice to have someone out there who's really empathetic and just a real genuine soul. So forgive me for gushing, but that's really how I feel. So thank you, Vicky, for being you.
That's all right, mate. Thanks for having me.
That's fine. So once again, one more reminder, Silver Haze is in cinemas from March 29th. Vicky, thank you so much for being on this show and sharing your very valuable answers. And thank you very much to the listener for viewing. And until next time, I'm Jack Martin, your film chef extraordinaire, whetting your appetite for film each and every week. That's all for now. See you next time. Once again, a massive thanks to Vicky Knight for coming on the show and graciously answering my questions. She truly is a wonderful person. So, after all that, I feel it's only fitting that I now deliver to you, right here, my actual review for Silver Haze, which hopefully provides a bit more insight into the film and Vicky's performance in it. As she mentioned earlier in our conversation, in 2003, a devastating fire in a family-owned pub left 8-year-old Vicky Knight with burns across 33% of her body, and even more sadly, claimed the lives of her two cousins and that of the brave pub regular, Ronnie Springer, who saved her and her other cousin from meeting a similar fate. Since then, Knight has taken significant steps to overcome the grievous emotional pain that goes far deeper than the scars on her skin, such as taking on the lead role in Dutch filmmaker Sacha Polak's 2019 feature Dirty God, in which she played the survivor of an acid attack. It turned out to be quite a cathartic part for Knight, one that earned her plenty of acclaim across the board, including from myself when I saw the film upon its release, and you can read that archived review on the Filmfeeder website at filmfeeder.co.uk. I'm happy to say that Knight continues to expand on her natural screen talents in Silver Haze, which sees her reunite with writer-director Pollack for a feature that much more closely relates to Knight's real-life experiences. While the film itself may not be quite as powerful an overall piece as Dirty God, it is an admirable effort that takes some bold swings and more often than not manages to hit its mark. Knight plays the film's central character Frankie, the survivor of a deadly childhood fire who carries with her a deep anger that the suspected arsonist is not only still walking free, but has started a new family with her biological father. Through her job as a nurse, Frankie soon comes across a troubled young patient named Florence, played by Esme Creed-Miles, whom she begins a passionate romance with. And after being kicked out of her family home in East London, she ends up shacking with Florence's family in Southend, including her kindly guardian Alice, who's Angela Bruce, and her autistic brother Jack, played excellently by debut actor Archie Bridgen. However, the toxic combination of Frankie's anger and Florence's unpredictable mental health issues puts their chance at happiness together at serious risk of collapse. You may have picked up from that plot description that Silver Haze takes heavy inspiration from several aspects of Knight's life, from the near-identical childhood incident to her profession as a healthcare assistant to her identity as a gay woman, to where the film could genuinely be considered semi-biographical. It's whenever the film focuses on these fictionalized aspects that the film is at its most engaging, as Pollack's fly-on-the-wall filmmaking lets numerous scenes of Frankie struggling to cope with the unresolved trauma of her childhood, as well as a number of tense confrontations with homophobic instigators, including, rather sadly, members of her own family, play out with a very lived-in sensibility. Moreover, Knight delivers a very naturalistic lead turn that is self-assured and free of vanity, as the actor is unafraid to bear all, in all senses of the phrase, when it comes to giving her character a wide set of emotions that wisely refuse to ignore her much deeper flaws. Between this and Dirty God, Knight has proven herself to be a performer who can make just about any role feel authentic and unshowy, and she makes the most of it once more in this film. From a structural standpoint, Silver Haze is less solid but still engaging. So I've seen this film twice now, and upon the first viewing, I was honestly quite frustrated by the much looser and more improvisational approach that Pollack infuses within her narrative here, whereas Dirty God had a clearer structure with both its plot and characters. At the time, I felt that it turned the film into a frustrating labyrinth of plot strands that largely went nowhere, but on the second viewing, I found there to be a much stronger flow than I'd originally picked up on. Perhaps it's down to knowing what to expect this time, but throughout this second viewing, I noticed how the multiple subplots, among them Frankie's sister, Leah, played by Vicky's actual sibling, Charlotte Knight, making a sudden conversion to Islam, an unsuccessful revenge mission against the suspected arsonist, some deeply disturbing sexual abuse by Leah's boyfriend, and a major character grappling with a terminal illness, all complemented the overall naturalistic slice of life vibe that Pollack brings, something that the bombardment of plots blinded me to the first time round. There is a touch of Mike Leigh and even Robert Altman in the way that Pollack shows Knight interact with her co-stars, including her formidable co-lead Esme Creed-Miles and her various family members, some of whom are actually played by members of a real-life family. And while at times the structure doesn't always generate the appropriate emotional response, I definitely appreciated it a lot more on that second viewing. And there are plenty of other noble attributes that make Silverhaze an admirable project, one being how extremely well shot it is. Cinematographer Tibor Dingelstad blends handheld camera work with harsh lighting to emphasize the realistic yet dreamlike world that Knight's Frankie and Creed-Miles' Florence have found each other in, which slowly crumbles apart due to their starkly different approaches to life. One sequence that sees the couple being taunted on a bus by Larry homophobes is framed as this almost one-shot take that focuses not on the intolerant bullies, but on the increasingly agitated faces of the protagonists, which, thanks to the remarkable endurance of both actors, as well as the tightly natured focus of the filmmaking itself, is made all the more unnerving to watch. And later on, the film also takes some shocking turns with some of its major characters, who begin to show a much more dangerous and even psychotic side as they become increasingly less likable than they were upon first introduction. It's a bold choice for any film to make at the risk of alienating the audience, but it makes the central relationships that much more interesting than if they were more conventional and straightforward. Its ability to take some sizable risks and still come out with a fair amount of dignity ultimately makes Silverhaze a film that, despite an occasionally uneven structure, is very respectable. But above all else, as with Dirty God, it truly is Vicky Knight who gives it a striking pulse, with the actor remaining as fiercely committed as ever to delivering an authentic turn that shows the world how she is not defined by her physical and mental scars, but instead is a performer with compassion and grace to overcome it all through her work on the screen. So, in summary, Silverhaze is a highly admirable new collaboration between writer-director Sacha Pollock and lead actor Vicky Knight, which isn't quite as powerful as their previous film Dirty God, largely due to an initially uneven narrative, but Knight's exceptionally naturalistic turn and some gorgeous filmmaking give the deeply personal project a beating pulse, which I am pleased to give it 4 stars out of 5. So that was my review for Silver Haze, which is being released by BFI Distribution in cinemas across the country from Friday the 29th of March. So do make sure that you seek out this special film and help turn Vicky Knight into even more of a household name than she already is. And thank you so much for tuning into this special feature presentation episode of Film Feeder. And if you enjoyed it and want to support my work further, then do consider going to patreon.com/filmfeeder and becoming a paid subscriber. And in return, you'll get a whole load of exclusive goodies, like early access to select podcast episodes and even video versions, which will not be made available anywhere else on the internet. In addition, don't forget to like and rate this episode on whichever platform you're listening to it on, and also do make sure you're following Film Feeder on all its social media platforms, which are listed in the episode description. And I know I did the outro already, but I'm gonna do it again because why the hell not? So, as ever, I'm Jack Martin, your film chef extraordinaire, whetting your appetite for film each and every week. That's all for now. See you next time.